Off the Ball.
Find us on Twitter at Off the Ball.
News Talk 106 to 108.
Welcome back. Football show is on the way in about 10 minutes time or so, 15 minutes time or so. But let's turn to the French Open, which is gathering pace. We're at the quarterfinal stroke semi-final stage. Luke Jensen, a former doubles winner of the French Open. They tell me you're on the line, Luke.
Oh, that was 25 years ago to the day where I got the luckiest line call in my life and my brother and I won the French Open. So thank you for that anniversary.
Wow. To the day.
To the day. To the day. Wow. Unbelievable.
Amazing. Pretty sweet to be a French Open winner all the same.
It really is. I mean, I will say, of all the Grand Slams for an American to win, back in the day, it was thought that U.S. players that grew up in like fast courts, like the hard courts in the United States, couldn't play on red clay. So it's an extra kind of like, you know, feather in our cap to be able to say we're red clay court French Open champions.
No doubt. So have you been watching much of the 2018 version?
Of course. I mean, the 2018 version of the Jensen brothers or the French Open?
More so the French Open.
But I feel too much pizza in the 2018 version of the Jensen brothers. But this year's, to me, it's always going to be about Nadal on the dirt. Mm. Nadal has won this thing 10 times on the men's side. But you've got, Dominic Thiem takes out Zverev, who is the number two seed. Dominic Thiem had beaten Rafael Nadal earlier this year in Spain in a clay court event, which is extremely rare in the clay court season. But there's a lot of good things, and Djokovic takes a dive. I mean, number 20 seed, normally he's one of the elite players in the game. He's faltered the last couple of years, but he loses in four sets.
Yeah. To Cecchinato, the 72nd ranked player in the world, unseeded, coming in. Djokovic is coming back from injury, so that is a mitigating factor. And then elsewhere in the draw, who else do we have in the men's? We have Nadal, TM, Del Potro is still hanging around, Cilic is hanging around. Why is Nadal so dominant on clay?
Physically, he's a beast.
Is it down to physique?
And of course, Roger isn't playing. He's taken the entire clay court season off to focus more on the Wimbledon grass. To to win that event.
But even if Roger was there,
to such a high level last year in 2017, he took the clay court season off, and he's getting late, long in the tooth. He's late in his career, so he wants to conserve energy on the surfaces, and that he's not going to win on. He's not going to win the clay court season. He's going to battle through that. Mm. So he takes it off, and he's going to focus on the fast courts. And then you got, Nadal. Nadal is physically a beast. The reason he's so good on this surface is it's slower. These are big courts. You look at the center court at Roland Garros. It's big. You can move right, left. You can defend deep in the court. So it's hard to get the ball by him without an effort. Mm. And, of course, there's no one in the history of the game on this surface that has been so dominant. You can talk about Borg on the men's side, maybe Chris Evert on the women's side, but his game is built with heavy topspin, physically extremely fit, and no one's played with more intensity. Maybe Connors, maybe a Monica Seles on the women's side, but he's just so energized in every swing on every point.
It must be incredibly difficult mentally for any of those players left in the tournament to stand across the net from Nadal and even visualize beating him out there. I know you're saying Thiem beat him earlier in the year on clay, but realistically it's a different ball game when you're talking about a Grand Slam. Even just that mental challenge of thinking, I'm going to beat Nadal on clay, must be a massive one for any of them to surmount.
And you have to remember, when you're in the locker room, you're in the same locker room with your opponent, and he's jumping around in there, and he's doing push-ups and jumping rope, and he's just intimidating. I mean, he's just a caged animal. And when he gets on the court, you just feel that presence. And his ball is hit with such velocity. It's a heavy ball. What I mean by heavy ball, you can be fast, but when you hit with so much weight behind your shots, he's a big dude, 6'2". He's going about 190 pounds, which is kind of heavy for a tennis player at that level because you have to move in so many different directions. But when you hit against his ball, your racket responds and, like, flies backwards. Mm. So you're having just try to battle not only the speed of his shot, but the weight of shot because of his massive topspin. He places the ball around extremely well. Yeah. And on that surface, remember, the Grand Slam is different because it's best of five sets. So you're going to have to go into that cage with him and battle that mud roller, that dirt baller for that kind of distance. Two out of three sets is a lot easier because it's a shorter distance. It's a shorter match. Mm. Best of five sets in that ring, it's tough.
Yeah, much tougher to catch him. To what extent do other players who maybe don't usually hit the ball with lots of topspin the way Nadal does, will they, during the French Open, start putting extra topspin on the ball? Like, will most players put topspin on the ball on clay?
Not that much. You look at his follow-throughs. He follow-throughs way over his head. He has this kind of windmill finish because he's hitting with so much velocity and arm speed, racket head speed, to get through the ball. There are a couple guys. There's an American, Jack Sock, who has that kind of whip and topspin. You look at like a Del Potro or a Chilich, they drive the ball. Mm. That's why they've done better on hard court surfaces, on a faster surfaces with a truer bounce. But it's just, you look at someone like a Del Potro, who can strike lightning in the bottle. He's won the U.S. Open before. He's been in big matches before, knocked out Roger Federer in last year's U.S. Open. So he's not afraid of the big stage and the bright lights. Mm. But I just can't see a scenario outside of injury or illness that Nadal is not going to win another French championship.
Yeah, it certainly shapes up that way. It feels like a procession. So on the ladies' side, Halep is the current favourite. Muguruza is behind her. Sloane Stephens is there. It's a real pity Serena had to bow out due to injury. Her pectoral muscle was at her. She couldn't even physically serve in the end. So we never got that Serena-Maria Sharapova match, which everybody kind of wanted. And they were sniping at each other a little bit as well in the media. So that's not going to happen for starters.
Yeah, and I really think, of course, Serena's coming back from having her first child, and I think that's a major factor in that decision. She also, I think she's 17-0. The last 17 matches has gone the Serena Williams way. Mm. So I think Serena wants to keep that, she's not 100%. She wants to keep that streak going against, I don't know if it's really a rivalry if you're beating someone that soundly over and over again, but I think it's more of a personal vendetta. So Serena's going, listen, I don't mind taking the court, but I want to be 100%. I don't want to be less than that going onto the court with one of these bitter rivals where there is a lot of trash talk. I mean, Sharapova just needs to shut her trap.
Yeah.
And I don't know what it's like, over there, but, Americans, when that happens, you just say, hey, 17-0. Mm. The results matter. And it's amazing that Sharapova still wants to go back and try to stir it up with Serena. But I'll tell you, the draw is wide open. Sloane Stephens, the U.S. Open champion, has played great. She won 3-1 today. Madison Keys, another big-hitting American. She's got a shot. I mean, she's a huge hitter of the ball. She's not afraid of any situation. She played poorly in last year's U.S. Open final, which was her first major final. Mm-hmm. And I think she's matured from that. So there's a lot of interesting storylines.
So Sloane Stephens will play Madison Keys in one semi. We have quarters tomorrow, so Muguruza will play Sharapova, and then we'll have Simona Halep against Kerber. Do you agree with the general sense that Halep is the slight favorite here overall?
I don't, only because Halep has yet to win a major. She choked in this year's Australian Open Championships. To me, you got to cross that line. Mm-hmm. I look at Kerber, winning, honestly, just because Kerber's done it before. Kerber's been number one in the world. Kerber's won majors before. So in that head-to-head, I like Kerber. The other thing is, I really like Sharapova. Sharapova's won the French Championships twice. Outside of maybe Serena Williams, no one really hits the ball bigger and deeper with more, like velocity and the way she attacks the ball mentally and physically. When she's on her game, she's tough to beat, and the clay sets up perfectly for her because, she doesn't move that well. So with that, the clay slows up her opponent's ball, so she doesn't have to play as much defense, and she can play even more offense. I like Sharapova getting through that side of the draw.
Right.
I mean, and again, healthy, if she doesn't get food poisoning, some weird thing like that. To me, I'll take the two-time champ over the other players on that side.
Mm. And in comparison with her Meldonium best, how is she performing since the comeback?
I think the biggest thing is She still struggles with her second serve. Sharapova still has never had a transition game that goes forward with confidence. When her ground stroke game is landing and she's landing those punches, she's extremely effective. But Sharapova is mentally one of the toughest players that ever played this game, considering she handles a lot of air. She double faults a lot, but she moves in the next point. She's able to kind of, you know, forget about the last point or the last miss and able to, you know, march towards the next point with a lot of positivity and confidence. I've always just really believed in her game when she doesn't have to come to the net, when she doesn't have to really force things. She can just play naturally. She's a big girl, 6'2", 6'3", long wingspan, and she loves Paris, and that really plays into that. When you love a place, you've had a lot of success at a place, you just magically step on this carpet ride, and you just go for it.
Yeah, no doubt. Listen, we'll see how it all unfolds over the next few days. Luke, 25 years on. It's a real pleasure to have you on, and congrats. We'll congratulate you every time
you're
on.
I know you picked Iceland to win the World Cup. I think you're going to come short.
Who did I pick?
You, Iceland. You're picking Iceland all the way.
I sure am. No Team USA at the World Cup for the first time since 1986.
Oh, it's bad. It's brutal. All the sports stores are selling all the kits, and it's not moving. It's dying. It's already on sale, and the World Cup hasn't started.
Yeah, I would think so. Thanks as ever. Appreciate it.
See you, Big Joe.
Luke Jensen there with his take on the French Open thus far. So, again, quarterfinals are on tomorrow. Muguruza against Sharapova is the first ladies' quarterfinal on the Philippe Chartrier. And then Nadal plays Diego Schwartzman, the number 11 seed. And then in the other two quarterfinals, it's Halep against Kerber. Interestingly, Luke doesn't fancy Halep to win and fancies Kerber. And then it's Cilic against Del Potro in the other men's quarterfinals. So we'll see how it all shapes up. Certainly Nadal looks like the inevitable winner on the men's side, that's for sure. Short break. We've got the football show, Dan McDonald in studio, and we'll be checking in on how Germany are shaping up. If they can afford to leave Sané out of their squad, most people think that suggests they're pretty scary.
Off the ball.
Find us on Twitter at Off the Ball.
News Talk 106 to 108.